What's up, guys? Welcome to CineSpeak. This is part two of my Joker discussion with my friend Zach. So this episode is complete spoilers for the movie. Did I mention the movie?
I think you said Joker. It's Joker.
Well, yeah, it's Joker. So if you don't want to get spoiled, then click off and go listen to the spoiler-free episode. And yeah, I'll give you 5 seconds to get the fuck out of here.
I almost made the same joke.
No! Go listen to the first part and then come here. All right, thank you. Okay, full spoilers. What do we spoil?
Where do we want to start?
Well, there's a lot to talk about with this movie.
Lots of things that are like, ooh, that would be a spoiler.
Yeah. Well. Well, let's start. Well, I don't know.
I just want to, like, if you don't mind, I just want to reiterate the character work.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And since we can talk about the spoiler stuff, the way that the interactions between Arthur and then the lady, I can't remember her name.
I don't think she had, like, his girlfriend or love interest.
Yeah.
I don't think they gave her a name. I know the
neighbor lady.
Yeah, the actress is Zazie Beetz, Zazie, I don't know.
Yeah, the interactions between them, and, like, I imagine rewatching it, I've only seen it once.
Mm-hmm.
You can see that something doesn't make 100% sense.
Yeah.
Like, she went from, just offhandedly shooting herself in the hallway to letting him make sweet, sweet love to her. And clown makeup.
Bro, maybe she has a kink. You don't know.
I mean, same. Yo, I want to tell a side story again.
Okay.
On my Instagram, There is a picture of me in clown makeup. And I tried really hard to do the Joker makeup for a pop-up haunt.
Mm-hmm.
So horrible.
Wait, is it? You said it was on Instagram?
Yeah, it's on my Instagram.
Let me look it up real quick.
I didn't have the right brushes.
Oh, wait, so yeah.
I was using a very bulky sponge.
Oh my god. You sent this to me, I completely forgot.
Yeah.
Oh man. If you guys want to see it, go to Zach's Instagram, @ZickKang. And bask in the glory that is this beautiful makeup work.
Yeah, makeup is my passion.
Oh, man.
Anyways, I'm done with side stories. We can get on to talking about spoilers again.
Okay. Did you see the love interest not being real coming?
Honestly, like, I'm sure if I paid more attention, I would have.
Yeah.
But I was just kind of, like, enjoying the character work, and I just, it was a twist that caught me by surprise, just because I was enjoying the film and not picking it apart, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Did you see it coming?
Honestly, no, because, well, I mean, the movie obviously, like, takes a lot of inspiration, like, even Todd Phillips has said it. Like, it takes a lot of inspiration from Taxi Driver and King of Comedy. Have you seen either of those?
No.
No?
No.
Blasphemy. Give me your movie buff card now. No, I'm kidding.
I don't watch enough movies.
I'm sad. Anyway. I would say it's definitely, Joker is definitely a mix of Taxi Driver and King of Comedy. I'll just break the movies down real quick, I guess. Taxi Driver is basically about, oh, also, Robert De Niro is in both of those. They're both Martin Scorsese movies. But Taxi Driver is like about a Travis Bickle who like just this ta literally yeah just the taxi driver who like just I guess hates how the city how the I guess how the people he just hates he hates life.
Yeah, so
And
me.
he pretty much it's kind of the same sort of transformation from like a normal dude to like somebody who's just like completely chaotic in that sense. And then King of Comedy is about like Robert De Niro as well as what's his name? Rupert Pupkin, who's like an aspiring comedian. So it's cool that they got Robert De Niro to play Murray Franklin, the talk show host, because in the King of Comedy,
Yeah.
he like has a talk show host that he like aspires to be.
Yeah.
So that's why I think Joker's like a mix of those two movies. And yeah, like I said, Todd Phillips has really like noted those as being inspirations. Where was I going with
Yeah. Oh, fuck if I know, man.
this?
You
Shit.
took away my I almost said N-word pass.
Uh-oh. Don't do that.
You took away my movie buff pass.
No. I hate when people do that. Like they actually like pretentious movie buffs are like, "You haven't seen Taxi Driver? Wow, I hate that shit. It's fucking elitism and I hate it."
Yeah.
But
I'm
anyway,
backtracking, trying to figure out what you're saying.
me too. I'm trying I like totally forgot.
You were talking about him pulling inspiration from those two movies, and then you had to
Oh.
explain them to me.
What?
You're talking about Todd Phillips pulling inspiration, and then you were like, "Yeah, this is what the movie's about. Those movies are about."
Oh yeah, okay. In Taxi Driver and in King of Comedy, there's a lot of like narrative choices that make it to where the main characters are unreliable narrators, as the Joker is.
Yeah, well.
But I compared it most to Taxi Driver because in Taxi Driver, he has a girl that he's like the main character, Travis Bickle, has a girl that he's interested in. And so the entirety of that movie, that woman is actually she's not in it for too long, but she's like any love interest that he has is real in either movie. So I was like, oh well, she'll probably be real, I guess. I didn't really think about it too much in the Joker movie.
Yeah.
But whenever I'm not gonna lie though, when the twist happened, I'm just like, I didn't really get too surprised. I was just like, oh, all right, that makes sense. It
Yeah.
was cool.
Well, going back to the film theory that I mentioned in the previous episode,
Yeah.
he literally theorized that it would all be just a delusion. Well, half of it would be a delusion, so anything where he's Arthur would be real, and then anything that was while he was the Joker would be fake. And so he was like, yeah, so this isn't a real relationship.
So he called it.
Yeah.
Damn.
It's the first time he's ever been right about a prediction.
What a movie to be right about, though.
Yeah.
There's that awkward silence again.
Perfect.
That's gonna be a staple of the
Yeah.
podcast. I like I'm not too big of a fan of movies that are like super, I guess, political. I hate getting into politics, but the movie has really good social commentary, and a lot of times I'm not too big of a fan of that in movies unless it's done correctly, and I would say this one did it correctly.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is they did it in a way that wasn't shoving it down your throat. It was portraying fucking Thomas Wayne as this douchebag.
Yeah, I thought that was super interesting too, because he's usually like the god of Gotham City.
Yeah. And so like they did it just to portray him as a douchebag. And they didn't do it necessarily as like the driving force behind everything, because like the protests in the end are all because of the political climate, but the story that we're paying attention to is because is a very personal story.
Yeah, true, for sure.
Fuck, there's multiple silences in
it's
this
just one. Talking about this movie is just so difficult to me, though.
I'm just trying to figure out, like, that fucking Murray scene.
Yeah.
Boy, howdy. It was better on the big screen than it was on YouTube.
I really
enjoyed it on YouTube.
I really regret watching that beforehand, though. I really couldn't help myself, because, like, I don't know. I just saw Joker leaked scene, and I'm just like, oh, cool. And then I watched the scene, and I'm like, this is awesome. I can't wait to see what the rest of the movie is. And I realized that that was a big scene in the movie.
Yeah, and then didn't you watch the other one that leaked, too, with the, where he shoots his friend?
Where, like, in his apartment?
Yeah.
Where he stabs him?
Oh, yeah, sorry, I said shoots, yeah.
Yeah, I watched that one, too.
That one was really entertaining to watch, because I didn't see that beforehand.
Yeah. How did you feel during that scene?
I mean, from beginning to end, kind of uncomfortable.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, his physicality is, like, he lost so much weight for it.
Phoenix?
Like, Joaquin.
Yeah, he lost, like, 60 pounds, I think.
He looks malnourished and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say that word.
malnourished?
But, yeah, I said nourished.
Malnourished.
But it made it so much better. And then that, with his white makeup.
Yeah.
And that contrast between the deep red blood on his face and the white makeup,
mm-hmm.
and the makeup taking away, making it a blank slate on his face, kind of like that transition between, there's like a blank slate between Arthur and the Joker.
Yeah. I watched a few interviews where like Joaquin and Todd said that that was kind of improvised. Like the makeup, I mean.
Yeah.
Because they were like, oh, how about we just do the white face paint? Because that looks, like, they thought it was even creepier than the full clown makeup, and I would have to agree.
Yeah, because you get that just...
It's just...
Flat.
Yeah.
Kind of mannequin-ish-esque.
It's just really, like, it's really sinister, like I said.
Yeah, and then, like, they tried to, like, make everything seem, like, calm everything down with the comedy, with, the, what's the proper term for the little person?
I think that's the proper term.
Yeah. They tried to, like...
Yeah. Well... That whole scene, like, I know, I don't, that, I like that scene a lot, like, whenever he's, like, going to the door and, like, he can't reach the lock, but I didn't know if I was supposed to laugh or feel scared.
Honestly, I feel like it's a bit of both.
Like, dark humor?
Yeah.
Because the first time I watched it, I was legitimately, like, terrified for, like, whenever I watched the leak, you know? When I watched that, I felt, like, super, like, terrified for the little person. I was like, oh, no. Because, like, Arthur / Joker had to have, like, had that in mind as soon as they came in. Because he locks the door. Like, you don't have to lock the door unless you're planning something.
Specifically to harass your little friend.
Yeah. Oh,
I'm trying to be politically correct, please don't.
Yeah, me too. Twitter. I'm pretty sure that's the correct term. If not, like, somebody tell me the correct term, because I would like to know.
I know the M word isn't the proper anymore.
No, definitely not.
I don't know if it's... I feel like dwarf could be, because I believe the condition's actually called dwarfism.
I think so. I think that's right.
But I think it's not, like, the wrong term to say little person.
Mm-hmm.
This is a side story. I have a lot of these. I found a service once. I don't know what I looked up. I know it was an ad on my fucking Facebook. And it was rent a little person.
Oh my god. I don't want to get into that. That's a little too much. Anyway.
It was weird.
Anyway, the violence in the movie was really, like, it was, I like, before the movie came out, everybody was, like, freaking out about the violence. It's not even that violent of a movie.
I'd compare it, once again, I said it in the spoiler-free one, I believe, I'd compare it to Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, where it's, like, there's no violence, and then there is a lot of it.
Yeah, like, the only reason people...
In this...
The only reason people were freaking out about it is because this movie took it, like, super seriously, the violence.
Yeah,
that's, like, the only reason.
I think people took it super seriously because it is... They're showing an outcast, essentially incel,
mm-hmm.
being glorified for committing crimes.
Yeah.
And so, like, and that's a lot of the times, that's what the guy in Christchurch wanted. He wanted to be known for his crimes, and same thing with any of the big shooters. They want to be known for their crimes. And so the media took it as a chance to, or they overdid it in the like worrying.
Yeah, for sure.
But I don't think it was unwarranted.
Yeah, like, I definitely understood taking the precautions, because I mean when I watched the first screening I went to for it, there was a security guard, and my friend was like, wow, they have a security guard, that's so dumb. And I'm just like, I mean, it's nice that they take the precaution, though.
Yeah, you're in the States, so it's like,
yeah,
it's even more likely that it's, or even more possible.
Yeah. I honestly do think, though, that if, like, the media would have just ignored the movie altogether, like, it's... The media, like, is asking for people to, like, you know, do that.
I mean, yeah, it's...
Basically.
And then that's why people do it, because they know they'll get their face all over the news.
Yeah, exactly. And it's insane, because, people keep talking trash about the movie, and they're like, oh, it's a dangerous movie. I'm just like, have you watched it? It's literally about, like, what happens when mental health isn't, like, taken care of properly.
I will say that the portrayal of mental... I think I said it before. The portrayal of mental illness is not ideal.
Yeah.
I will give them the kudos, because they did not mention one specifically.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in Split, they specifically mentioned dissociative identity disorder, and it became so taboo and hurt so many people.
Yeah, that's that. Oh, yeah, I remember that.
I have a friend. We did an interview for a show I direct,
mm-hmm.
with them, and they talked about how the people actually ask if, when they find out that they have DID, that if they'll start crawling on walls and shit.
Oh my god.
And it's like, you have to be very careful with how you portray mental illness, and that's why I think this movie is, to an extent, problematic, but at the same time, it didn't give a specific.
Yeah, true. It kind of sidestepped that, and I think that was a smart choice.
Yeah, I think it's one, it's better for the character just to be like, he's just this way.
Yeah.
But it's also better for the
people who are actually
the social implications.
Oh yeah.
I do think, and when he's on the Murray Show and he's like blaming his, he's like, the what do you get when you cross a mentally ill person with a society who doesn't give a shit about them or whatever.
Yeah.
He's actively blaming his mental illness for what he's about to do.
Yeah.
And I think that was a little bit iffy, but
at the same time, it's like, it's, I hate say, I like, it's dumb because it's true, but it's like, it's Joker, so his mind is like really clouded, and especially this version since he's so naive.
I said it in the other half too. It's impossible to deny that there's something wrong with the Joker.
Yeah.
He's in Arkham Asylum in every single adaptation. He's breaking out of Arkham Asylum and being diagnosed with schizophrenia and this and that and this. I said schizophrenia because that's one that I specifically remember.
Yeah.
But I remember there's one where he just had like a laundry list of diagnoses.
Diagnoses, I think. Let us know.
And it's impossible to deny that there is a mental illness or mental something there.
Yeah.
So I think it's better that this movie does it than, like, I'll give this movie a pass because that's the source material. There's always been something there.
Yeah.
But, like, if they just made a new character out of the blue and they're like, this guy has schizophrenia, so he murders people. And you see that all over fucking horror and shit. Like, asylums and...
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's just... It is so hard to portray mental illness right.
Mm-hmm.
I think they did an okay job with this, where he's actively seeking help and it's society who's making it impossible for him to get the help he needs.
Yeah.
So I think this film did an okay job with it.
Do you think...
I'm just rambling about this.
No, I'm trying to get my thoughts together too. Do you think that they handled him being a sympathetic character well? Like, do you think that they made it clear, like, you can be sympathetic with him up to a certain point?
I think it's very clear that, like, you can feel bad for him because society's just not giving him a chance.
Yeah.
He lives in a society where they're not helping him, giving him the help he needs, but he goes the wrong way with it.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the majority of the audience who watches it will be like, yeah, I understand that this is wrong.
Yeah. Well, like, Todd Phillips was talking about how he's, like, Arthur is, like, meant to be, like, sympathetic, but he also says that, like, people are gonna jump off the sympathy train at different points. Like, different events could, like, take people off of the sympathy train. What scene was that for you?
I mean, it's not hard for me to agree with the things he says.
Yeah. See, that's another thing. Like, he, like, whenever he murders the, like, the three Wall Street guys on the train.
I mean, that was self-defense.
Exactly. It's so tough.
Because
I'm like, yeah, he murdered these guys, but at the same time, it was self-defense, and they were being assholes, so.
I'd say that scene, I was okay with because it was self-defense.
Yeah.
Where it really fell off for me, or started, like, the sympathy stopped, mm-hmm. started to stop.
Yeah.
Was when he stabbed the guy, his friend.
At his apartment?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because, like, I mean, at the same time, I also get that because the guy cost him everything he had.
True.
Because he's like, oh yeah, he was trying to buy a gun from me.
Yeah.
And then he had the gun because this guy insisted he took it.
I think,
knowing that he shouldn't have it.
I understand when people say, to a certain degree, I understand when people say that the movie's dangerous because, like you're talking about right now, like, a lot of his actions, even though they're, like, obviously terrible, you can still kind of understand where he's coming from. But I also feel like that's just, like, the Arthur, like, people say, well, Arthur didn't have any other options, like, he didn't have to go down this path, he could have gone down a better path, and I'm just like, yeah, but there's no outside sources that are actually, like, giving him the help that he needs, and he does, so he wouldn't know about any other, like, paths, because, like, that's the structure of the narrative.
Yeah, it's, well, I mean, all good villains are relatable to some extent.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanos was right.
Bro.
We have an overpopulation problem.
Yeah. Like, people are giving Joker shit because, like, Danger is, like, promoting, like, you know, chaos or chaotic outbursts or whatever. But I'm like, Thanos is in like, Infinity War, Thanos is straight up, like, promoting genocide.
He fucking murders half of the universe. Fucking cancel Infinity War.
Exactly. So I'm just like, I don't know how the logic works there.
You know what? Fuck RDJ. He doesn't deserve that Oscar.
What?
Those movies were problematic, and they need to be canceled.
I agree.
Fucking
Marvel
society.
Have you heard Martin Scorsese's comments about Marvel movies?
Yeah, it's fucking funny. Jennifer Aniston also hopped on the bandwagon with that.
Oh my god, I saw that too.
And they're like, people are tearing her apart because her movies have none of her movies have above a fucking 30 on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh god. I understand people getting mad at them both, but at the same time, I'm just like, do y'all not know what an opinion is?
Yeah.
And especially with Martin Scorsese, I'm like, he's Martin fucking Scorsese. He can say whatever he wants. And I also think, I was watching these, like, movie news guys on YouTube, and they were talking about how it's smart that Scorsese made the first comment, and then people started talking about him, and then he did another comment about the same thing, just, like, saying, like, yeah, fuck, I stand by my first comment. They said that it was smart of him to do that because The Irishman, his next movie's coming out, like, really soon, so it's good promotion.
I mean, yeah, any promotion's good promotion.
Exactly. But
that's why the Joker fucking broke records, and
oh
I think that
God.
Probably has something to do with the smear campaign the media was trying to put on for them.
I think so. I can't believe how much money it's made.
What's it at now? It's gotta be at about half a bill.
Hold on.
I thought I just read somewhere when I was looking up the playing cards, like, 450 mil.
This article says Joker tops $200 million. Damn. Confirming DC Films as Warner Brothers' most bankable film franchise. I saw that it made more money than Justice League, which is, like, amazing to me. Because this movie's so small, and it's rated R, and it's a character study.
It's made a total of $556.6 million worldwide.
Jesus. I think the budget was only, like, 60 or 70 million, too. Something like that.
I can tell you in just a second.
I wouldn't bet money on it, but I think that's what it is.
Riff for me.
Oh, wait. Well.
Budget was 55 mil.
I'm on Wiki and it says 55-70.
Mine says 55 mil on IMDb.
Well, shit.
Binch.
Binch. I would you what do you okay, here's an interesting question to ask. What do you think DC should do moving forward after this movie?
That's a tough one, because there's not a lot of other characters that you can do this kind of
Story?
well, character piece with.
Oh, yeah.
I
Don't know.
think
I mean, I would say there's a few.
there's a lot of good characters, but I don't think there's any with so much mystery and so much. I think any other Batman villain, at the very least, I'm not too up to date with any of the other Justice League villains.
Yeah. I don't think anybody
I'd
is.
say any, I mean, other than Lex Luthor, who could have a story on its own, but I
I
don't think
would.
any of them can carry their own film without having a reference to the hero in their film.
Yeah. I definitely think that this format works best for Batman villains.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see a Scarecrow film.
That'd be cool.
Completely, I think it'd be a horror film for sure.
That'd be sick.
I'd like to see it. I'd like to see that also with Batman, but either way, I think it's like in the vein of the Arkham games. Have you ever seen, I know you don't play video games, but have you ever seen the Arkham mission or the Scarecrow missions in the Arkham games?
No.
They're fucking, I'll send you a link after this.
Okay.
They're fucking scary and so good.
I imagine they're kind of trippy too because of the scarecrow toxin, but I could be wrong.
Yeah.
I
I
would
found out.
say Riddler and Penguin, actually more so Riddler. I think Riddler would be interesting.
Sorry, I sent you a message. I think
Cause like imagine Riddler, but don't know, like maybe like a crime drama where like the cops are kind of like Seven,
yeah.
but with Riddler.
Yo, fucking Matthew Gray Gubler as the Riddler would be really good.
That would be really good.
And I just thought about that.
People keep saying that, because did you know that Jonah Hill is like in the running for a role in the next Batman movie?
Yeah, I'd say Penguin.
A lot of people say Penguin, but I also hear a lot of people say that they want him for Riddler, which I think would be a more interesting choice for him. Because
Yeah.
Penguin seems too obvious.
I mean, he's short and tubby sometimes.
Sometimes.
Side note, have you seen that fucking meme of him dropping his iced coffee?
Yes.
I fucking love that.
That's the best picture in existence.
It's like Jonah Hill is the Joker movie, and then, or no, Jon it's DC, and then joke, and then it's the next movie after the Joker, because they're dropping the coffee.
Oh my God.
Like dropping the ball. I'm so funny.
You think Oh, I kind of touched on this topic with you over message, but do you think Joker do you think a Joker sequel would work?
Yeah, we talked a little bit about this.
Yeah.
I think it all depends on how they do it. Because, like, I mean, at the end of the day, you have to pick one interpretation of the story to be the end all be all. When you do a sequel. And so, with how it's left up for interpretation, did he actually start the riots? Was he in the cell the entire time? Did he, after he got knocked out, did he get taken to the asylum and that was that? Whatever, right? They have to pick one of those.
Oh, that is true.
Or they do a completely different route with it and do fucking take that quote from the Joker, my backstory is multiple choice or whatever, and make it reality and like have a bunch of different backstories for him, which would be cool.
Like a trilogy of like, I'm just saying a trilogy just cause, but like a trilogy of like standalone Joker origins.
I think that would be interesting.
I think so too.
Cause you have so many, it's the multiverse theory, right?
Yeah, exactly.
What leads this guy to being the criminal mastermind that we know? I was going to say know and love, but
I mean, in a way I love him just cuz the character is so iconic, but
yeah. But what do you think? Would a sequel work?
I would say I'd honestly be super interested to see how they would do it. I know there's a lot of back and forth between Todd Phillips and Joaquin Phoenix over if it would actually happen, because Todd Phillips keeps saying that it's like it's not gonna happen, it was designed as a one-off, but then again Phoenix is like interested in revisiting the character, which is like the first time he's ever seemed interested to do a sequel to a movie. But I would say that it'd be cool, but I don't think it's 100% necessary. But I do think that that multiple choice idea would be really cool, because that way you wouldn't compromise like the open to interpretation ending, or just film as a whole that this first one is.
Yeah, what if you end every film the same way, where he laughs and then murders the therapist?
What if you had the Waynes die at the end of each? People would get so annoyed.
Yo, fucking bring me on to direct the next Joker.
You know, I just need to say this real quick. A lot of people get so, like, literally, like, pissed off that they keep showing us the Wayne murders, but I don't really get it. I guess I kind of get it, but at the same time, I like seeing different directors' interpretations of it. And the one in Joker, I thought, I didn't really expect him to do it in this movie, but so I was surprised when that happened. Like, I realized that halfway through, I'm like, oh shit, they're actually doing it.
Yeah, it was definitely interesting to see how they did it in this one.
Mm-hmm. Because I like how in a roundabout way, Joker ended up being responsible for it.
Yeah, and that's what, if they ever brought Batman into this universe, that's why he goes after the Joker so much.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they're linked and possibly siblings. Hoo-hoo.
Do you think they are, or do you think they're not? Because they say they say that they're not, but then you see that photo of Penny Fleck, his mom, that has, like, you have a great smile, T.W. Thomas Wayne. So I'm like,
You never know. Maybe, well, you're also seeing that from an unreliable narrator.
That's true.
It's in an unreliable source's belongings, being the mother.
True. Even more true.
But at the same time, you never know. It could be the real deal.
That's why I love talking about movies like these, because it's, I don't know. It's just,
it's interesting.
Yeah, it's like, the movie really helps start a conversation about, like, a lot of things. The movie has a lot to say.
Well, in the past hour, we went from me making a very dirty joke to a very serious conversation about mental illness.
Yeah, we did.
That's what this movie did for us today.
We do live in a society.
We live in a society, I'm telling you.
Oh, man. What else is there?
I have another side story.
Go ahead.
I went as Jared Leto Joker for Halloween one year.
Oh, God.
And I wrote in Sharpie on my forehead, damaged.
Oh, in Sharpie?
Yeah.
Why?
And I dyed my hair green and everything.
Oh, my God.
And I just went around shirtless for the entire day.
Did you only do the damage tattoo, or did you do all the other ones?
Oh, no, I did, like, the hand one with the smile, so I could do the stupid thing where he holds his hand over his mouth and laughs.
Yeah.
And I did the ha 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 ha.
Did you do them all in Sharpie?
Yeah. I was in the shower for, like, 2 hours after that.
Oh, my God.
This was...
Be careful, it'll stay on you forever.
I'm just fucking stupid.
What?
This wasn't, like, 6 years ago. I was, like, 17 and I did this.
Oh, man. Did you see that Jared Leto was, like, upset that this Joker movie happened?
Jared Leto can go fuck himself.
I will still say that I think he has a good performance in him. He just has to get paired with somebody that's actually competent at making a movie. Not to say that David Ayer isn't, because he made End of Watch and that movie's really good. But Warner Brothers really fucked him over with Suicide Squad.
I think with what he was given,
yeah,
which isn't much, he did a good job.
Yeah.
I think I heard somewhere at the time that they cut, like, an hour worth of Joker footage out of that movie.
I heard that, too, and it's just, I want to see it just out of curiosity. But
like the Snyder Cut of Justice League, I want to see that out of curiosity.
Me fucking too. Zack Snyder keeps posting shit about, like, oh, it's real, I'm just like, is it, though?
He's probably just trying to, like, save his name.
I think so, too. I don't think he's a bad director, but...
At the end of the day, his name got dragged through the mud because of that movie. And Joss Whedon was just a producer. He wasn't a director.
I mean, he got credited as a director. He did reshoots.
Did he get the full credit as director?
I think so.
Or assistant director?
Fuck. Let me look it up.
Usually they just... Reshoots, they send... honestly, it's big reshoots. They just send the AD.
Nah, he didn't get a... He didn't get a directing credit. He did get a screenplay
credit, yeah,
though.
So, his name didn't get fucked.
Yeah. I feel bad for Zack Snyder, though, because, like, the reason he had to leave the movie was because his daughter, like, passed away.
Yeah, he was going through some shit.
Yeah, so, like, I don't know.
To be fair, he gave us Batman versus Superman.
I know a lot of people hate that movie. I honestly don't dislike it that much.
I think...
In my opinion, if you look at it as, like, an Elseworlds story, it works a little better, but I like the first two acts with, like, the whole Batman and Superman, Bruce Wayne and Clark Kent, like, ideologies conflicting. I do think the third act with Doomsday is, like, bonkers, though.
The scene that really tore everyone apart was the fucking Martha scene.
Yeah.
And I think if you take a fucking second to watch it and think about it logically, why would he say, you're going to kill my mother? Bruce has no fucking clue who your mother is.
Yeah.
You're going to say, you're going to kill Martha. That's going to be like, that's my mother's name too. That's just a coincidence. Listen, he's going to say Martha. Doesn't make sense not to.
I fully understand what they were going for with that scene, and I think it would have been really cool if it would have been executed a little better.
Yeah.
I understood the intentions, but execution, not very good.
Yeah.
But I also think that for a movie called Batman vs. Superman, like, the fight, the big, quote, big fight that they have is, like, kind of underwhelming, but...
I enjoyed it. It really showcased that Batman can hold his own against anybody.
I totally loved it, but I just like, I wish it was longer.
Yeah.
Cause like,
it was about like a 2.5 hour movie, and only like 20 minutes maybe is Batman versus Superman.
Yeah.
The rest is like Lex Luthor.
I think.
Yo, a side story.
Oh shit.
I was at an outlet store the other day where they just sell old stuff that other stores couldn't sell.
Mm-hmm.
And there was just a giant shelf of Batman versus Superman figures.
Okay.
And they were all Lex Luthor.
Oh my god.
There was 100 Lex Luthor figures on this shelf.
Oh man.
And I thought that was really funny.
Damn. Where were we? Okay. Oh, fuck. We, like, derailed completely. Oh, shit. This app is telling me that the maximum recording time for segments is 60 minutes, and we're at 45.
Do you want to wrap up?
Well, I'm trying to think if there's anything else about Joker that I want to touch on.
Awkward silence.
Is there anything else that's, like, spoiler-heavy, like, a big aspect of the movie?
I don't think so.
I really like the scene when he finds out the truth about his mom. I think that was a scene for me where I'm like, okay, I can't. Well, I mean, I still sympathize him in that scene, but at the same time, I was like, this is where he's like, this is the breaking point.
Yeah, well, I mean, that was the breaking point.
Yeah. I thought it was done really well, too.
Yeah.
Oh, the score. Did you like the score? I thought it was amazing.
Yeah, I thought it was really good.
It played like a character.
Yeah. I mean, that's what fucking inspired this. I'm not going to talk shit about that guy. The thing we talked about before recording.
Yeah.
I'm not going to talk shit about that.
Okay.
Sorry, I almost did.
But, yeah. I thought the score was like, it was really haunting. And it fit the story really well.
Yeah, I thought it worked really well with what was being shown and told.
Some of the notes, I'm not really too huge into music, but some of the notes kind of reminded me of the Nolan Batman trilogy. It reminded me a little bit of Hans Zimmer's score. Not like overly, but there were just like tiny hints. But that's just me. That could just be crazy.
I have to listen to it at some point, but I think I can see that, but it's probably just them taking inspiration from.
Yeah, for sure. It's really subtle, but.
Yeah.
Oh, the scene. I need to talk about this scene. The scene, like, whenever, like, Gotham is, like, in ruins and it's, like, on fire. That whole scene, like, with him on the cop car, just, like.
Yeah.
Basking in the glory that. Is Gotham on fire. Like, whenever the ambulance, whenever he's riding in the cop car, he's just like watching it from, like, watching the chaos from the window, and they're like, why are you laughing? This is you did this shit, like, why? Exact quote from the movie. And then he goes, yeah, isn't it beautiful? And then, like, they get hit by an ambulance, and then a fucking taxi just goes whoosh, like. Dude, I fucking love how insane Gotham was, like, oh fuck, it was so cool to me. The intense riot stuff at the end was like, it was terrible to watch, but at the same time it was like awesome to watch, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
And then I also, the shot of him like painting on or using his own blood to like paint on the Joker smile, and with the music like swelling up during that moment, and like walking, that's the scene where I'm just like, Joaquin Phoenix deserves an Oscar, because like he has like tears in his eyes when he does it, and oh my god.
And he looks so genuinely happy.
Yes. Oh my god.
For the first time in the movie.
Exactly. Oh man, I love that. That's why I say that the ending of the movie is probably my favorite part, even though I love all the character building stuff.
Yeah, I feel that.
But yeah. Do you have any final thoughts about it?
It was good.
Indeed. Better than I expected.
Yeah, I don't understand why Venice gave it a standing ovation.
Yeah, I don't think it's quite that good.
But I think it was a really solid film.
Yeah, me too, for sure. I honestly, the first time I watched it, I came out of the theater and I was like, was that really that good?
Yeah, that was, I think we talked to, I said the same thing earlier. It was like, had to sit on it for a bit.
Yeah. Because even on the drive home, I was just like, whoa.
Yeah.
Especially that ending. That ending hit me like a truck. I was just like, Jesus, dude.
I was in there with my girlfriend, and I think we just left the theater, and I didn't say a word, because I was just trying to figure out my thoughts.
Yeah.
But I'm so used to after every movie we see, because we have a fucking horrible track record seeing movies, just being like, wow, that fucking sucked.
I mean, to be fair, you guys are really busy most of the time.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I barely do anything besides work, and all I do is watch movies. I watched Rosemary's Baby today.
Oh, yeah? How was it?
I'm not gonna lie, it was a little overhyped, and it also doesn't help that I've seen several movies that took inspiration from that movie.
Yeah.
So it kind of took away from the experience. I still think it's a good movie, though.
Yeah, I watched that Stephen King one, the Tall Grass.
Yeah, I heard that one wasn't good.
That was my first movie.
Oh.
Like, that I sat down besides Joker and watched in like a very long time.
What did you think of that one, real quick?
It was bad.
Really? That, like, for real? All the reviews I read are true.
They build up this fucking... Can I get into spoilers about this? Are you ever going to watch it?
I mean, we probably won't have time to get into spoilers because we're at 51 and we have the limit of 60.
Okay, well, they build up this fucking powerful female character and then there's no payoff.
Ugh.
And it's just like, I believe... Yeah, no, she just dies.
Okay. That doesn't sound very exciting.
Yeah.
Just go watch The Shining again, man.
Yeah.
And get that other one out of your... Get that bad taste out of your mouth.
Watch it. Get ready for fucking Dr. Sleep.
Dude, I... The dude who directed Haunting of Hill House is directing Dr. Sleep, and I'm so excited.
Rewatch Zombieland. Get ready for Zombieland Double Tap.
Oh, I need to do that, too. I hope that one's good.
It looks like it should be good.
Yeah.
Or at least funny.
Yeah. I forgot how good The Shining was, though.
Yeah, it's a really good film.
It's a fucking masterpiece. I don't like throwing around that word too lightly, but I think The Shining deserves it.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of movies coming out still that I really want to watch, but most of them are pretty, like, indie, so they're probably not going to play anywhere near me, so...
Yeah, I feel that.
So that fucking sucks, but...
Small town problems.
Honestly.
Just whipped away.
I guess that's about it for this episode, do you think?
Yeah.
Alright, so... Overall, Joker, great movie. Definitely recommend watching it, I would say. Would you say as well?
I thought you were just going to do an outro, so I didn't think you wanted me to talk.
I mean, I don't know. Yeah, Joker, great movie. I'm really bad at doing outros, to be honest. Hope you guys...
thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening, guys. I hope you enjoyed us talking spoilers about the Joker movie. Make sure to follow the podcast on Instagram at CineSpeakPod. Follow me on Instagram at MarioMunoz.98. Follow Zach on Instagram at ZickKang. Give me some feedback on the podcast. Let me know some movies you want to hear covered. And yeah, I guess that's about it. Thanks for listening. Bye.